Choir. What a blessing. I thought about, couldn't help but just sort of linger and ponder in Isaiah chapter 6 there for a little while when Isaiah saw the vision of God high, holy, and lifted up. And he saw the angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy is the Father, holy is the Son, and holy is the Holy Spirit," right? He cried it three times in honor of the Trinity, "Holy, holy, holy." So I think that every once in a while, it'd be okay if we just bowed down and said, "Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord." Sorry, I got off track there. Y'all got me off. But I love Jesus, don't you? And what a blessing it is to be able to praise him this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn with us to Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. And we want to begin there. Let's read a couple of things here about God prepares the message for the Gentiles. And certainly this is the opportunity for God to be able to incorporate in his plan the Gentiles. So we have the Jews, and we have the Old Testament scriptures of where the Jews almost always had opposition out there. And they had come to a point in their life that they felt like that they were a little bit holier than thou. And God allowed you and I, because unless you're a Jew, you're a Gentile. And all the way back from the days of Abraham, God chose a people, began with Abraham, and it went all the way to Jesus, and Jesus being a Jew because it had been prophesied. And then in Acts chapter 10, we have the story of the fact that he allowed the heavens to come down in a curtain and all the four-footed beast to be shown and allowed the Gentiles to be able to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So we'll get there. So I've just about summed that up. But we'll get there, and I want us to see that. So God prepares the message for the Gentiles, and it's a sign that it's one gospel for all people. So we don't have, I know I identified Peter and Paul as the apostles, maybe one to the Gentiles, one to the Jews last week, and primarily that's what happened. But I'm thankful that Peter also went to the Gentiles here. And that's, you know, things that we can see that are evident. So I want us to begin here. This is our text. And then we're going to back up into Acts chapter, at the beginning of the chapter. And we're going to say some things and share some things today. But I want us to begin here in verse 34. The Bible says, "Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Let's say a prayer. Father, we're thankful for your word. We ask now, God, that you'd please anoint your word. And we ask, God, that you'd allow it to grow in our heart, help us to apply it to our life, and help us to be better because you have allowed your word to be in our life. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. In Jesus' name I pray. I guess the key in the text here would be that God shows no partiality. It doesn't matter if we're white, black, yellow, red, whatever, as far as the ethnicity of our skin or where we're from. I'm thankful God loves everybody, aren't you? I'm thankful for that, and I believe that. And I don't think the white race is superior to any other race. I just think we're all God's children. Every one of us came from Adam. We may have distinctive qualities, and we may have ethnic qualities, but I want you to understand, we all came from Adam, all the way back from the very beginning of time. And God loves his creation. And it's evident that he allowed everybody opportunity to hear the gospel. And this is the beginning of that. We know that already has started throughout the book of Acts as we've studied. But I want us to see some things. The passage of Acts 10 and 11. So chapter 11 is basically a summation of chapter 10. And we may spend a little time there this week. And I thought earlier, well, I spent three or four or five weeks, I can't remember, in Acts chapter 9. And we may spend 1 week in chapter 10. But I think that we need to share these things and let's move on. Here it is July and we're still stuck in the middle of Acts. And we've got a long way to go, but we're going to make it. We're going to get there with the Lord's help unless He directs another direction. If He does, we'll go there. But I've enjoyed the book of Acts and I still am enjoying the book of Acts. But I want us to understand, Jew and Gentile are now one in Christ Jesus. It's always shown forever that Jesus has erased the prejudices. We still live in a prejudiced world, don't we? There's a lot of it out there. Talked to a guy yesterday. He was saying that a job that he had to quit just a year or two ago was because of prejudice. And he was a white guy and his boss man was a black guy. You know, it's not the white, it's both ways. But I want you to understand, I think it's something that probably is from our raising and something that has been drilled in our society, but it didn't come from God's Word. It didn't come from the Lord. It didn't come, and even, you know, you've heard of the days that when the preacher would take off the tie or whatever and after the Sunday morning service and go that night and put on his KKK rally. No, that's not God's man. I don't care. In that day, wasn't God's man. He was just, can I just say, a pretender? If he'd been God's man, he wouldn't have been doing that. I guarantee you that, because I don't think that a Christian should harbor hate among just because of a race. Right? Amen? And I hope that we all feel that way. I know all don't that lives in this area. You know, I work with some guys. Out of no reason, say they hate people. And I don't understand that. Just because of a different color of skin. So the definition of prejudice, inquiring or damage resulting of some judgment or action of another in disregards of one's rights, especially detriment to one's legal rights or claims, preconceived judgment or opinion, an adverse opinion or learning formed without just grounds or before sufficient knowledge. An instant of such judgment or opinion. You see, there's not a lot there except to the very end that talks about race. I thought how that we have so much prejudice today. Let's just say something that's relevant in our world is we look at the news and we look at the media. We watch one network and we watch another network and there's so much prejudice based on the fact that we're affiliated with a political party. The Democrats hate the Republicans. Fox hates the Democrats. CBS, ABC, and CNN all hates the... It's terrible, isn't it? Which one do we watch? What do we do? There's so much bias and prejudice in this world today. We can't watch the news without getting, you know, being drilled into what their philosophy is as far as... I mean, back in the 80s, I used to listen to a guy, his name was Marlon Mattis, and he's since passed. We had a radio show, and he was talking about the bias of media. And it wasn't near as bad then when I first started listening to him in the late 80s. But now, it's just gotten terrible, horrendous. And especially, you know, in our day today, there's so much bias and so much hate. You know, one don't like the other, and one never will please the other side, and the other side never will please the other side, if that makes any sense, right? It's crazy. But, you know, whatever happened to us being Americans and us working together for the better of the country, seemingly, that's not top of the priority on the ladder of politics, is it? But I believe that's where we ought to be. And until we start voting people out, as a society across the board, probably not going to change. Amen? Probably not going to change. Same way, religiously, we've had moments throughout history where religion has been full of prejudice. But I want you to understand, and I don't know how you feel, but I think that it'd be wonderful to me if we had a mixed congregation. Y'all may disagree with me, and if you do, that's okay. We don't have that right here today. So y'all, you know, if you disagree with me, you won. But nevertheless, I think it would be wonderful to preach to all of God's people. All of God's people, no matter what. One characteristic of the early church, it was strictly a Jewish community. The concept of taking the good news outside the body of the children of Abraham had not been considered. We know that with the lady at the well, right? She was a half-breed Jew. She was a Samaritan. So therefore, they didn't have any dealings with the Jews. So, and still, a lot of Jews today, as I've got quoted here, they still don't, those Orthodox Jews still today won't mingle outside of their race. Terrible, isn't it? So the Mosaic law did not forbid the children of Abraham from interacting with non-Jews, as the traditional law did. A lot of that. Now, here's what I thought was interesting as I've studied the Bible through the years. You have the written law, the Mosaic law, and then by the time we got to Jesus' day, we had more traditional laws than we had written Mosaic laws. And they followed those traditional laws. We still have that today. We've done this way always, so therefore, that's the way we still need to do it today. Amen? Tradition's good, but tradition sometimes holds us back. Because, as we talked about earlier, I promise you the church today doesn't look anything like it did in that day. Amen? You know, dress has always been something that we've had a prejudice and a difference opinion on about how we ought to dress when we come to church. And I've always heard preachers talk about a certain way of dress and this way and that way. I even heard one time get up and say, he quoted the Old Testament about how that a man shouldn't wear a woman's apparel. And I thought, man, here you are in a pair of pants, and in Jesus' day, all they wore was robes. So come on, let's take it in context. If we're going to preach about it, let's put it in context and let's preach the truth instead of basing it to a biased prejudice of our opinion. Amen? You know, I think that we ought to interpret it the way it was written. And I'm not always right, but I've always tried to leave Jeff's opinion out. I hadn't always done that, but you know, I've grown through the years, and the Lord's helped me through the years, and I want to preach you the truth, and let's see it as it is. And sometimes I get long-winded doing that. So anyway, however, the traditional law developed a deep prejudice in the people against non-Jews. Even today, many Jews adhere to the practice of avoiding social interaction with non-Jews. So what is the consequence of such prejudice? Israel was called by God to be a nation of priests, declaring the goodness of God to the people. That's what they were supposed to be doing. And instead, they'd segregated themselves. They'd just about painted themselves in a corner. So by avoiding social interaction, the Jews were not obedient to the first calling and failed to declare God to others, keeping the knowledge of Him to themselves. Sort of, in a way, like our church today. We should not just have social interaction inside these walls. It's wonderful to have a church family. But I'll tell you something, there's a lost, dying world out there that needs to hear about Jesus. And this is the door opening of that, I believe, truth that we need to see in the book of Acts chapter 10. So it illustrates in chapter 10 a turning point in the basic view of Christianity as seen by the church. So up to that time, the church considered Christianity, here's the way the Jewish Christians believed in that day, that if you wanted to be a follower of Christ, you had to become a Jew, and you had to be circumcised and come through all those ceremonial traditions. But that still wasn't the way God had intended it to that point. But they're starting to break away from that and understand what God's will was at this particular point. So sometimes the fulfillment of Judaism, which is, and consequently is limited to Jews, which is not. It's not limited to Jews, is it? It's to everybody. So now all of a sudden, God sees that, and this is His perfect time. He wants the Jews and the Gentiles to intersect in the faith, and it not to be just Jewish, not just Christian, but to be Christ in each of us. and he did this. He allowed this vision. So he looked at the Jewish religion. This is Cornelius, based on what I just explained. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision the angel of God coming, saying to him, Cornelius, spoke to him. You ever felt like the Spirit's named you? Hey, Rowan, you messed up again. Seems like I hear more of that than I do attaboy. I like those attaboys, don't y'all? Make you feel better, don't they? But sometimes those times of correction I need also. We all do, no doubt. When he observed him, he was afraid. He said, what is it, Lord? He said to him, your prayers, your alms have come up before me as a memorial before God. He said, send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname was Peter. Now, they didn't, in that day, they didn't go there. So look, what was, he lived in Caesarea. Jews normally didn't go there because it was Gentile city. So what happened in the vision? God told Cornelius, God told Peter, we'll get there. For Peter to go to Cornelius. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He would tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually, and he explained these things to them, and he sent them to Joppa. So Peter has a dream. Cornelius has this vision. Now Peter, a few hundred miles away, or whatever it is, God's working on him. The next day, as they went on their journey, they drew near the city. Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So Peter experienced a trance. In the Greek, that means that he was transported out of himself. Y'all, don't none of y'all daydream, do you? Hey, you daydreaming now? Let's come here to reality. And then you can daydream in a little while. But that's sort of what happened to Peter here. He went into a real deep daydream. And God began to work with him. His mind was so concentrated, so focused that Peter lost all sense of the world around him. He was swallowed up in the thoughts of God, transported mentally out of this world. I like those moments. I like those moments. The trance was of heaven. Peter saw heaven open. Peter's prejudice was encrusted and hardened. He had never known anything but prejudice within his environment except what Christ. Remember, he's still a Jew, but he saw Jesus go outside of the Jewish religion and heal people outside, right? So if Peter was to be changed and begin to reach out to the heathen, the ungodly and unjust, he had to know that his instructions were from heaven. So God placed him in this trance. When he was there, he saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. So can you sort of imagine what Peter saw? As all these things were coming down, unclean beasts, clean beasts, all mixed together. So what happened? The voice came to him and he said, rise, Peter. Look, his words have read. Jesus speaking to him in this vision, he said, kill and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. I've always tried to hold to the Jewish traditions and law. A voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Three times this was done, and the object was then taken back up into heaven. While Peter wondered within himself what this vision, he had seen meant. So what happened? The men who had been sent from Cornelius, remember he had the dream to go send these guys to Peter. God was working with Peter and allowed him to see this. These people are coming to see Peter. And they were outside about the time this dream was ending. They called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there, and Peter thought about the vision. The Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you." And the following day, they entered Caesarea. So they got together. Now they were heading back toward Cornelius. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. He's ready for everybody to see what was about to happen because God had spoke to him. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, worshiped him. Peter said, "I'm just a man." He said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked then, 'For what reason have you sent for me?' So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting into this hour. At the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Cornelius, your prayer's been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa.'" Remember, that's what's happened. "When he comes, he will speak to you." So he's telling Peter, "This is what I saw, and I believe you have a word for me." So we are all present. I've called my family, I've called my friends, and I believe you have something to say to me from God. So we're here to hear all the things commanded you by God. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace, is what Peter said. Preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. God, this is the message. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all these things. Peter said, "I'm an eyewitness. I experienced it. I've known about it." He did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him and hung him on a tree. God raised him up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God. And I'm thankful me and old John got to see it firsthand. He was gone. He was gone. Even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose, had fish by the fire with the Lord after he was resurrected. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that is He who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and dead. To Him all the prophets witnessed that. Through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sins. Just the gospel. Just the gospel. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? To Him all the prophets witness that through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive the remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, remember Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came down. And upon all those who heard the word, Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him." Isn't it amazing what God did to Peter? It's to me a picture of God's amazing grace. Amen. It's a portrait of God's grace. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. I'm thankful for grace, aren't you? I'm a product of God's grace. Can we stand and sing an old hymn right here? I know time is up and out, but listen. I want us to sing about God's grace. And the words will be up here. And I want us to stand and sing along with it. If you need to pray.